Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, before we do get started, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners, and you can support the show over at support.greatdetectives.net. And I also want to remind you that going over at thewar.greatdetectives.net, my World War II Old Time Radio podcast, we're playing wartime Christmas episodes for the next 3 days, so you can check that out over at thewar.greatdetectives.net. Now it's time to go ahead and take a listen to The Laughing Matter, parts 1 and 2. Since we're resetting a bit, these episodes, I should say, are from June 11th and 12th of 1952.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Ed Renser, Johnny, Union States Casualty Company.
Oh, hi, Ed. I heard you were trying to reach me.
Yes, indeedy. Plane leaves in 2 hours.
For where?
Ensenada. It's a port on the west coast of Mexico, south...
Yeah,
of...
I know, Ed. I know. I've been there.
Well,
but
now,
what do you...
Charlie Burton is down there, Johnny. You know, the big nightclub TV comic. You know, good old, lovable, boyish Charlie?
I've seen his show.
Who hasn't? Really keeps you screaming, doesn't he?
Oh, he is a killer.
Eesh.
So what do I do? Go out there and scream it up for
you
him?
You go out there and keep him alive. Someone's threatened to murder him.
One of his audience, maybe?
No, wait, Johnny, this is no laughing matter. Anything happens to Charlie Burton, I cut my throat.
Hey, you really do like his show.
We're carrying $500,000 worth of insurance on that boy.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Home Office, Union States Casualty Company, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the laughing matter. Item 1, $221.50. Transportation by scheduled airline to San Diego, incidentals there, and charter plane for a flight 80 miles south into Mexico. To Ensenada. Item 2, $1.90, taxi from the plowed ground airstrip to the Carrara marble foyer of the Plush Balboa Beach Hotel. The contrast was typical. Ensenada is two towns, really. The tourist town is a glittering belt of pseudo-swank resorts around the south end of the bay. Bald-headed men in flowery sport shirts and fat women in shorts, loaded down with cameras, souvenirs, and U.S. dollars. The loafing town. And next to it, the rows of warehouses and docks, the fishing fleets and freezer plants, narrow dirt streets and slums. Soft-eyed Mexicans and the gentle liquid sound of Spanish. Native town, the working town. Two different ways of life, and no bridge of understanding between. The executive producer of the Charlie Burton Show, a man named Frank Maltz, was in my room 5 minutes after I checked in.
Glad to know you, Mr. Dollar.
He was probably in his middle 40s, but looked older, haggard, pressured. A little battered around the edges. He might not have his ulcer yet, but he was sure working on one.
Didn't waste much time getting here.
Well, that phone call of yours got them pretty upset back there in Hartford.
I meant for it,
so
too.
So I get it. Have you called in the local authorities, Mr. Maltz?
No.
Why not?
It wouldn't have done any good. Charlie'd have blown his top and had him thrown out.
Good old lovable Charlie?
Yes.
He doesn't know you phoned Hartford.
No, he'd have stopped me if he'd known.
Why? Does he want to die?
Oh, he says he's had murder threats before, crank letters. He wouldn't take it serious.
But you do, is that it?
I didn't figure it was up to me to decide.
As I understand it, Mr. Maltz, there was a note of some kind slipped under Burton's door.
That's right.
Well, tell me about it, will you?
All right, yesterday evening after we came back from shooting some scenes around the bay, we went to our room, shower, clean up for dinner.
Uh-huh.
When Charlie started to leave his room, he saw the note.
Where is his room?
Fourth one down on the terrace to the left. All our rooms open onto this same terrace.
Do you still have that note?
No. Charlie tore it up after he read it.
Did he show it to anybody?
Yes, to me. It was on stationery from the hotel here. It was in pencil and crudely printed.
Remember the wording?
Oh, yes. It said, "Only the gods are immortal, Burton. As you'll soon find out, you'll never leave Ensenada alive."
Kind of an odd way of putting it.
I thought so myself.
Know anyone who might use that style of phrasing?
No, I'm afraid not.
All right. What else, Mr. Maltz?
Nothing else. Those are the facts.
Anything happened since the note?
Not as far as I know.
Burton could be right, of course. The whole thing may be a hoax.
Yeah, maybe, but that's for you to decide, not me.
Who do you know who might think they had a reason to kill him?
I think I'll let you form your own conclusions on that.
No, thanks, Mr. Maltz. That's very thoughtful of
you. All right, I'm sorry. I realize I haven't given you much to go on.
Practically nothing.
I can't help it, Dollar. That's all I know about it.
I see.
Well, talk to the others. See what they know about it.
What others?
Well, I was thinking mainly of Gloria Dale and Al Schreiber. And there's Charlie himself, of course.
Suppose you brief me on those other two.
All right. Gloria Dale's the feminine lead.
Oh, yeah, I've seen her on TV.
Yeah, probably. She's been with the show for 3 years. She's in her late 20s. She's single. She's gorgeous. She has a terrific sense of comedy.
Well, how does she get along with old, lovable Charlie?
Good question. Maybe she can give you an answer to it.
All right, I'll ask her. And who was that other one you mentioned?
Al Schreiber? Yeah, he's a young newcomer. He's been with the show 6 months now. A real talent, if he were ever given a chance to show it.
Why isn't he given a chance?
Because on the Charlie Burton show, my friend, there is one and only one star, namely...
Good old lovable boyish Charlie Burton.
Oh, you've been reading the press release.
Well, as a matter of fact, I have. All right, who else?
No, that's all. At least all that mattered. The camera crew, the technicians who were sent up from Churubusco in Mexico City, they never heard of Charlie Burton before. And we haven't had much of any contact with anyone here in town. Now, I think that note was written by somebody right here in the family. That's another reason I sent for you instead of the local police.
Just why did you send for me, Mr. Maltz?
What do you mean?
How do you feel about Charlie Burton?
Haven't you guessed?
More or less, I think.
Well, I'll spell it right out for you, Mr. Dollar. I hate his guts.
And what do you care whether he's murdered or not?
Care? I'd get roaring drunk to celebrate it.
And yet you're the one who phoned an SOS to Hartford.
Well, sure. If Burton does get it, I want an expert around. Somebody will tag the right party for the crime.
A matter of justice, is that it?
Why not?
Oh, because it's usually just a word people talk about. What they really want is to win.
Ah.
Is that what you want, Mr. Maltz?
Very funny. You ought to go on television.
No, I'm waiting till they perfect it.
I feel the same way about murder.
So the legend of lovable Charlie was starting to crack. One person at least didn't love him, Frank Maltz, his executive producer. And there was something else besides hate in Frank Maltz's eyes, a weariness or bitterness, something I couldn't quite place. I filed the thought for the moment, took time to shower and change, and went looking for another pair of eyes, a prettier pair. And I found them, alone on the terrace with their owner. They were turned toward the west, toward the last golden edge of the sun as it sank into the Pacific. They were big and blue, very lovely.
Hello there.
How are you, Miss Dale?
Miss...
I'm Johnny Dollar. I just got in from Hartford, and I've been talking with Frank Maltz.
Oh, you must be with the advertising sponsor.
No, I'm an insurance investigator.
Huh?
Yes, I'm here in regard to that threatening note that Mr. Burton received.
Oh, that.
You've heard about it, then?
Oh, we all heard about it. Interminably.
From Burton, you mean?
Who else? Oh, he paced and posed and beat his breast. He wept and stormed and shouted at us. Harangued, accused, and monologued us. Our base ingratitude after all he'd done for us. Done to us, he should have said. That one of us, a viper in his bosom, should stoop to such a practical joke on good old luck. If it was a practical joke, what are you doing down here?
You think it was a joke, Miss Dale?
I don't, but Charlie himself... Do you mean somebody really meant that threat?
Maybe.
Well, what do you know?
Any ideas to who might have written it?
Sure. Anybody who knows him.
Is he that bad, actually?
Mr. Dollar, you've heard the expression, horrid old man.
Yeah.
Well, if Charlie Burton worked for years to improve himself, I mean really tried, eventually he might lift himself up high enough to be a horrid old man.
Well, if it's like that, why do you stick around?
Why do I? Because I signed a contract last year during an emotional crisis. And it's got 2 more years to run.
Break it. Breathe a little clean air for a change.
I'd be dead professionally, and that's about all I've got in life now. Professional career, such as it is.
Same thing apply to Frank Maltz?
Yep, contract. Executive producer is just a title. The Charlie Burton Show is owned by Charlie Burton, lock, stock, barrel, and the souls of the employees.
Something of a dictator, huh?
Egomaniac. He's a pre-adolescent paranoid with the ethics of a rattlesnake and the jealous instincts of a Turkish harem master.
Uh-huh.
Oh, forgive me, Mr. Dollar. I had that line in a play once, but it still fits him.
Tell me the truth, Miss Dale. Did you write that note?
I'm a female comic, Mr. Dollar.
So?
So who can write?
Gloria.
Out here, Al, on the terrace. Al Schreiber, have you met him yet?
No, but I've got him on the list.
That may turn out to be quite a list before you're through.
Downstairs bar at 7, honey. That's what you said. Downstairs bar at 7.
Yeah, I know. I'm going in and change right now. Al, this is Johnny Dollar, Al Schreiber.
Hello, Al.
How are you? Glad to see you.
Mr. Dollar's an insurance investigator. He's here about that murder threat Charlie got.
You mean that note was for real?
Could be.
Well, happy days. Maybe there's hope for us yet.
Careful, Al. Mr. Dollar's making a list.
Sweetie, I'd be proud to confess. Only I didn't think of the idea, and besides, I'm a coward.
Did either of you actually see that note?
No, but we heard about it.
So I understand.
How does insurance figure in this? You mean some company actually wrote a policy on that earthworm?
To the tune of $500,000.
Holy Hannah, who's he worth that much to?
His sponsor, the advertising client. I doubt if it's personal, really. They're just protecting their investment in the show.
$500,000 fish. For a phony old fake who weighs in at a fast 30 cents. Say, maybe they're out to kill him and make a profit for themselves.
Yeah, I'll put them on the list. And I take it you're in the club, too, Al.
Club?
At least you're not wearing a Love Charlie Burton button.
Oh, sir. All I am, ever was, or hope to be in any future life. All I have, ever had, or expect to have at any time, notwithstanding. The foregoing to supersede any previous statement, and irregardless of any utterance made hereafter, I owe in its entirety and without any reservation whatsoever to my one and only benefactor, that sterling, magnanimous, warm-hearted, genial... I'll bet you think I'm only saying that because it's in my contract.
Did you write the note, Al?
I don't know what to say until I check with my writers.
Yeah, I have the same problem with my underwriters.
Say, that's not bad, Mr. Dollar. You know, you ought to try
I'm waiting till they perfect it. Item 3, 80 cents, one drink. I had it sent from the bar and sat on the terrace alone and drank it. I watched the sun die in the west and let the soft night creep out of the hills of Mexico and sink down over me in gentle folds. Then I saw a man slip from the shadowed shrubbery and move cautiously up the terrace, a pale ghost dressed in the white cotton of a peon worker. As I came quietly to my feet, a girl ran from inside somewhere, clung to him, and stopped him. They argued fiercely for a moment in guarded Spanish. Then the man turned and saw me and vanished into the darkness of the hotel gardens. The girl faced me for an instant, with eyes like frightened doves. Then she, too, turned and fled. But I'd recognize her. She was the hotel maid who'd brought ice to my room when I first arrived. So it was a lover's meeting, most likely. And yet, the man, before she stopped him, had been heading across the terrace toward Charlie Burton's room. Johnny Dollar.
This is Charlie Burton, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, yes. Was hoping you'd come out of seclusion.
Seclusion?
I arrived in Ensenada at 4 o'clock this afternoon. It's now 10 p.m., and I still haven't been able to see the man I'm supposed to protect.
I did not invite you here, Mr. Dollar. I do not need any protection.
Well, my insurance company doesn't agree with you, and they've got $500,000 riding on your life.
Look, my life has not been threatened. That note was a mere bit of buffoonery perpetrated by one of those nearest and dearest to me. One of those to whom I have unstintingly devoted my entire...
Oh, knock it off, Burton. I know the good old lovable Charlie legend, and I've seen your TV show.
Well, naturally.
Look, are you going to talk to me, or do I wire my company to cancel your policy and notify your sponsor that you've refused to cooperate with us?
Mr. Dollar, you may come down to my room in 10 minutes.
I'll be there in an hour, Burton. You wait on me for a change. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Ensenada, Mexico. to the Home Office, Union States Casualty Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, The Laughing Matter. Expense account continued. Item 5, $1.40. Taxi from the hotel in the village to the Commandancia Police on Frente Avenue. I wanted a rundown of one of the maids at the hotel, a girl named Velena Morales. I'd seen her on the hotel terrace shortly after dark near Charlie Burton's room. Seen her arguing with some man who'd managed to slip away from me in the darkness. Captain Peral said he'd check with me later and politely avoided asking what it was all about. If he had, I couldn't have told him. The Charlie Burton comedy show was on location at Ensenada, Mexico, and Frank Maltz, the producer, had frantically phoned Hartford and claimed Burton's life had been threatened. Burton thought it was a practical joke. Maltz didn't know. Neither did I. But I was there to find out. Hiya.
You are Mr. John Dollar, I assume.
You couldn't assume any corrector. Mind if I come in?
By all means, do.
Thanks.
I am Charles Burton, Mr. Dollar.
Yeah, I know. I've seen your face in a number of saloons.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, on their television sets.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, sit down, Mr. Dollar.
I just did.
Yes, so I noticed. And I don't imagine you'll be here long enough for me to have something sent up from there.
Oh, I'm sure I will. I'll have scotch on the rocks. Double.
I see. Room service, please. This is Mr. Burton in Suite D. Please send up one scotch on the rocks.
Double.
Make it double. Oh, just a moment, please. By the way, Mr. Dollar, what is your room number?
I can't seem to remember it at the moment. Why don't you just charge it to yours and then bill me for it later?
If you think you're... Room service, cancel that order. Yes, I said cancel it. I will not tolerate this high-handed attitude from a hireling, sir.
But not your hireling, Burton. Now, let's get a few things straight right now. From what I've heard about you up to now, I don't like you. And when I get to know you better, you like it or not.
And I certainly do not.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Oh.
Try throwing your weight around with the insurance company and they'll cancel your policy. And if that happens, you'll have sponsor trouble right up to your neck.
If you think you can...
I think you're not going to let it happen, Burton. You can't afford to. So cut out the kidding and let's get on with it.
You know, I like you, Dollar. You're so uninhibited. I'm going to buy you that...
Nope, sorry.
Why not?
I didn't want it in the first place. It was only a way to get your goat break down that phony guard. But have one yourself, though.
Now, drinking is not one of my vices.
Oh, so that explains it.
Explains what?
It wasn't one of Hitler's vices, either.
You're so delightfully insulting, you know. One can hardly take offense.
Too bad. I'd hope for better results.
Would you mind telling me just who exactly is responsible for this prejudiced opinion you have of me?
Well, as I remember, it was fairly unanimous.
As I know, you talked to Frank Maltz. Maltz, of course, is bitter because he hasn't been given complete control of my show.
Or any control, the way I hear it.
As long as it's the Charlie Burton show, Mr. Dollar, Charlie Burton intends to run it.
Only the gods are immortal. Isn't that what the murder threat said?
I'll get to that. Then there's Gloria Dale, my leading lady. Dear Gloria. I suppose she told you I've treated her very badly. Practically forced her to sign a contract that pays her several thousand dollars a week. A hideous fate, actually.
It could be.
And Al Schreiber? Did he mention the fact that I took him out of a 40-a-week burlesque house and taught him the subtleties of high-class, big-time comedy? Things that I had spent a lifetime perfecting.
Look, Burton, if you're trying to convince me of your fine, sterling character, forget it. It's irrelevant. I'm here because...
You're here because of that note, and that's exactly what I'm getting at. You think it was written by one of those three people, don't you?
Right.
Well, I agree with you. But you also take the threat seriously. I don't.
Why not?
Because not one of them has any reason to kill me. Yes, I know how they talk. They're underpaid, overworked. The boss is a tyrant. They hate him, the same old patter. And that kind of talk never leads to murder, Mr. Dollar.
Yeah, you've got a point there, I guess.
That note was pushed under my door yesterday as a crude attempt at a joke. Nothing else. Then Maltz lost his head and had you sent down here from Hartford. And the whole thing has become ridiculous.
You may be right. Well.
You sure you won't have that drink?
No, no, thanks. Oh, by the way, there's a maid at the hotel here. I believe she works all the rooms along the terrace here. A small girl, very pretty, with her short curly hair.
Oh... Yes, Velina.
Well, you've noticed her, then?
Oh, quite. I find her utterly charming.
Would you happen to know whether she's married?
I really didn't bother to ask. Does it matter?
Not to me, but it might to her husband.
You are determined, aren't you?
There must be some reason why you're so scared.
Scared? You do have a preposterous imagination. Good night, Mr. Dollar.
It wasn't my imagination. Burton was scared, or worried, or upset. At any rate, something was bothering him. But at the moment, he was covering up for some reason, and there was nothing more I could do to push him. So I gave up for the time being and went back to my room. But I wasn't ready for sleep, and the terrace outside my windows lying empty in the moonlight seemed inviting. And even more so, the sound of breakers 100 yards beyond. I followed a winding path through the hotel gardens and came out into Sandy Cove. And there I found her, Gloria Dale, sitting on the sea-worn rocks by the water's edge, with a bottle beside her, getting quietly drunk.
You've discovered my guilty secret, Mr. Dollar, and I've only got one glass. It's that or the bottle.
I'll share the glass with you, if it's all right.
Sure. There you are.
Thanks. Here's to the moon, people.
They seem real close tonight, don't they?
Yeah, they'll be dancing out there on the water by midnight.
I think you're as crazy as I am.
Crazier. You're not even in the same league.
I'm glad you came. I go sort of nuts on moonlit nights by myself.
Hey, what happened to Al? Weren't you two together?
I sent him off to bed. He gets a little wearing sometimes.
He's real gone on you, isn't he?
I guess so.
And you?
He's a good guy. I like him a lot. He's fine, but...
But no click, huh?
No click. Here's to better and better clicks.
Hey, easy, kid. You're drinking it straight, you know.
Help yourself.
What are you trying to do to yourself, Gloria?
Learn to forget. Forget the emptiness. Hollowness. There's nothing in me anymore. Except the hate, of course. There's plenty of hate.
For Charlie Burton?
For Charlie Burton.
Do you hate him enough to kill him?
You've always got your eye on the ball, haven't you, Mr. Dollar?
More or less. Would you like to tell me about this emptiness?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
Why not, though? It's the edge of the land and the edge of the sea. You're from the moon, and you'll go back there at dawn. So why not? Here's to the moon. It makes people crazy.
Hey, save half of that one for me.
Oh, sure. Here you are.
Yeah, just leave it there. So?
Well, a year ago, my contract was up. And I was leaving the show. And I was about to be married. Jerry, his name was. And he's the only man I ever really loved.
Uh-huh.
Burton was furious. He said I was letting him down. I was ungrateful. But he couldn't stop me because my contract was up. And one morning I got a note from Jerry. Special delivery. We were through, it said.
Why?
No explanation. Just a cold, vicious note. That same morning, Jerry left town with a friend. Chartered a plane and went to Canada on a hunting trip.
And you didn't find out the reason for it?
Later, yes. At the time, I was hurt. I was terribly hurt. I signed a new contract and went on working. Months later, I got the story around about...
What was it?
A private detective, one of the crooked ones, had gone to Jerry with a complete report about me, supposedly. My private life, field reports, affidavits, statements, even photographs. A fake, the whole thing... But it convinced Jerry. You know who was behind it?
I can guess.
Sure. Good old, lovable Charlie Burton. He wanted to make sure I'd sign that contract.
But when you did find out, why didn't you go to Jerry?
I wish I could have. That hunting trip, the plane, it crashed. Jerry never came back. He was killed. That's crazy, huh?
No. Easy, sweet.
Do I hate Charlie Burton enough to kill him? That's what you asked me, wasn't it? Sure, I hate him enough. 1,000 times enough. Only I haven't got the nerve. So what do? I drink.
Gloria.
The hotel. Help me get back there. Please, Jenny. Will you take me home?
Love and hate, and the black sea rocks, and a lunatic's moon at midnight. and no help on this earth for a wounded heart but time itself. A tide was rising now and rising fast, and hidden by the darkness, a wave curled and broke, and time ran out. I lunged out of bed and fumbled in the blackness for my robe and slippers and gun. Yeah, who is it?
Charlie Burton. Open up, hurry. Dollar, you've got to protect me. Somebody took a shot at me through my window from the terrace.
Oh, it was probably just a crude, practical joke.
Joke? Joke? This is no laughing matter. Don't you understand, Dollar? Somebody's out to kill me.
Now here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, a thickening web, clinging and sticky. But one of the flies pulls free by using a gun. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood, written by Les Crutchfield, and is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, a powerful performance by Virginia Gregg there. And really, all the actors have done a great job of creating compelling characters slash suspects who could reasonably have a motive. The question about television raised a couple of times, and I think it may end up being raised a few more times before this series is over, is a bit of an inside joke. Certainly on a radio program as to when it might go to television. Johnny Dollar did not actually end up airing on television, though they did attempt a pilot. Blake Edwards, who wrote some of the scripts under John Lund, directed, and character actor William Bryant actually starred in the show. Did not work out, though. All right, well, that'll do it for today. We will be back on Tuesday with our last episode of The Amazing Mr. Malone, and we'll have a new show next week, so be sure and join us back there for that. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net, follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.